Now, my scripture reading is in 2 Corinthians 11 and starting with the 13th verse. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on this message today, and let it be the help that you would have to each one of us, and let us hear and understand those things that you have for us. And in Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. And the title that I decided on, and I was reviewing several different titles. And one was including the devil dressed in his best attire. But I decided not to go that route. So I decided on another title, and that title is Deceptions. And of course, I'm sure you get the connection between the devil and deceptions. And I would like to for us to look at my text this morning. And the first one, I want to use two records of this particular verse. And the first one is in Matthew 24 and 24. And remember, the title of my message and the main focus of this message and my words to you is deception. Matthew 24 and 24. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Did you know, as powerful as Satan is, he still is a long way down from the power of our Almighty Father God in heaven and his loving and only begotten Son, Yeshua. So let's don't give the devil any more credit than he needs to have for being anything other than the father of lies and the father of deception. Let's go to Mark 13 and 22. Mark 13 and 22. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect. And you know, I consider the brothers and sisters in our congregation, I consider you part of that elect of God, part of that family of God. Is there any place that you would rather be than knowing that you are within and part of the family of God? You know, when we speak of deceptions and knowing that the master of deception is the devil, you know, there are many modern day misconceptions of the devil. Cartoon characterizations are untrue in how they depict the devil and who he is and where he is and all of the implications, a lot of the implications behind it. The devil for one thing, is not now in hell. He is destined to be in hell. He will be in hell one day because of who he is and because of what he has done and what he's going to try to do. Satanic religions are spoken of. And we have to say, they are real. They exist. Let's look at 1 Timothy 4 and 1. 1 Timothy 4 and 1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. The Word of God lets you know that the devil and his angels, his demons, are real. They exist. They are the forces behind evil. They are the opposite to God. They want you to fail. They want to do anything and everything to cause you to falter, to bring things that are untrue, they want to present them as true. They are the opposite to what God has for you. People today are involved in spirits and with seducing spirits. And they're involved in accepting doctrines of demons. And we might as well use there, instead of the word demons, doctrines of men. Because we are speaking of deceptions and the father of deceptions, the source of where deceptions come from. The devil is more dangerous when he is teaching complacency. What is complacency? The devil wants you to be complacent. He wants an atmosphere of complacency within the church. He wants to infiltrate the family of God with complacency. And that means letting yourself become vulnerable to the things of the devil, to things that are untrue. We recognize our enemy, the devil, when he says, all has been done. There's nothing left for you to do. The devil says, your works are not important. The devil says, the Old Testament is just that. Old. Unimportant. Replaced. Done away with. The devil wants people, all people, all churches, to believe lies, to become complacent, to believe there's nothing left for you to do. Just believe and have faith. The devil wants you to believe that. Become complacent. Believe that all has been done. Believe that works are not important. You know what the devil is trying to do? In a sense, he's trying to oversimplify the gospel so that you will become complacent. There's one that says, some within the Christian world is trying to complicate the gospel, trying to overly complicate the gospel. And the gospel is relatively simple. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's fairly simple. And there are ones that want you to just take certain Scriptures without looking any further or any further consideration, searching for any further explanation or any deeper meanings. They want you to just stop right there. Keep it simple. Don't add to the complexity of it. And in essence, that is telling you, don't put line upon line and precept upon precept in order to reach your conclusion for truth and in conclusion for your beliefs. Are we saved, as some teach, commonly, routinely, within mainstream Christianity? They say we are saved by faith alone. Don't ever think that they don't teach that and that they don't believe that. And they use different areas in the Bible, different verses in the Bible, to try to prove that particular point. But one of those is John 3:16. Let's go there and look at that. And remember, they are wanting you to take this one verse and get from it that you are saved by faith alone, meaning without any other consideration. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Is that telling you that faith alone will save you? Is that the conclusion we're supposed to get? Let's go on down a little further and look a few verses on down in John 3:21. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Do you see another element being brought into the situation that this is discussing here? Yes, it speaks of deeds may be manifested as coming from the Father God. False teachers. False teachers in my scripture reading, teaching deceptive doctrines, doctrines of devils, and doctrines of men, meaning not of God, not based on God's word, and even teaching against law keeping. Have you ever heard that? No point in trying to keep the law. The Ten Commandments are done away with. They're of the Old Testament. To me, the entirety of the Bible lets you know that God's law are just exactly that. His laws are everlasting, unending, eternal, and will forever be that way. They are true. They last forever. They're unchanging. But there are those in the Christian world that want you to consider that the law and the prophets have been done away with, changed, nullified, made of none effect. But I'm telling you today, your Bible and their Bible says just the opposite. It says God doesn't change. If He made commands and laws, if He said something was evil, then it was evil then and it's evil now. It was true then, it's going to be true now. It will be lasting. His words endures forever. The devil's arguments on these words of deception, the devil's arguments sound so convincing. And some of those arguments goes like, all has been done, there's nothing left for you to do, just have faith and believe. Jesus, Yeshua, has done it all. There's nothing left for you to do. You know, I'm the first to say, and we all know, you are not saved by works. The Bible teaches that. We believe that. We know that. We are not teaching you are saved by works. But I am saying to you, faith alone is not enough. Faith alone does not save by itself. More has to be evident. More of the fruit in your life and the fruit of you living your life has to be seen, has to be evident, will be evident as God is truly in your heart and life. There's those that wants to use words like God will only have mercy. God loves. God only knows forgiveness. But I'm telling you, the Word of God lets me know there's another side to that picture. There is a judgment coming. The Word of God lets us know we will be judged according to our deeds, according to our works. Yes, we have to have faith. Faith is very important. But so is other things that go along with faith. Seeing the fruit that faith brings. Faith in your life will bring certain consequences, certain fruit. You will know the tree by the fruit that it bears. You will know the person by examining that person's life and what all it encompasses. Modern day Christians sometimes teach only God's forgiveness, never God's judgment. But just as sure as there is salvation and forgiveness, there is also judgment. You know, the Bible lets us know in the very last few records, verses, chapters of the Bible, Yahweh lets us know that it's a serious thing to distort the Word of God. It's a serious thing to add to or take away from God's Word. What is true? How we form the basis for our beliefs and doctrines. It's a serious thing. And let's look, just review that place in the Bible that I'm speaking of that talks about not sticking to the yea, yea, and the nay, nay, but going into deceptions and distortions of the Word of God. Let's look at Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Revelation 22, 18. I testify to everyone who hears the word of the prophecies of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. You know, if that happens, it should go without saying that you're going to be not in the kingdom of God. You're going to be judged unworthy. You will not enter heaven if your name has been found unworthy and it is not written in God's book of life. We need to know that we need to hold on to the simplicity that is in Christ. Yes, it's simple. But we should not think that we have to make God's Word anything other than what it is. Don't make it more complex than it is. Don't oversimplify God's Word. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11 and 3. 2 Corinthians 11. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. The Word of God itself says, it's not complicated. It's not oversimplified. But the Word simply lets you know the truth. And we need to accept it and abide within it, not adding to and not taking away, but holding to the simplicity that is in there. Satan, if you recall, there's an instance in the Bible where it speaks of Satan deceiving Peter about God's plan for Jesus, Yeshua. And when Yeshua told the ones around him, including Peter, that he must die on the cross, and he would. Then Peter's reply to Jesus was, "Be it far from thee, Lord." In other words, "I can't believe that. Don't say it. I don't want it to happen." But Yeshua's reply back to Peter after he reacted that way was, "Get behind me, Satan." In Matthew 16:22-23 is where those records are. The greatest deceptor is Satan. And he will not overlook anyone in his trying to deceive and trying to get you to fail. Satan's religion says, "All has been done. Just have faith and believe." And he is causing contention among Christians. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11 and 15. 2 Corinthians 11 and 15. "Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." Satan's demons and Satan himself are hard at work right now. Very active, very much alive, and very much going about their work of deception. Satan's workers sometimes appear to be righteous, and sometimes they are ones within the church. Within the church itself. That appear and sound so righteous. And so right. But we are let known in James 3:14-16 that bitterness and strife are from the devil. The devil tries to divide and to conquer. And troublemakers often appear to be super spiritual. But when Christians realize the deception and forgive one another for their most of the time petty faults and failures, then Satan is defeated. If there was more forgiveness within our churches, it would inspire our church, and our churches would be better, more like God would have them to be. And in James 3:17-18, we are let known that putting away strife pleases the Lord. Let's look at James 3:17-18. James, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Do you see? Those are the ones God wants to become dominant within His church. Those that work for peace and to make peace. I would like for us to look at Romans 3:28. And 31. Romans 3:28-31. "We maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." Does that seem pretty clear to you? Just the one verse there? We maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. But let's go to 31. Do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. Does that provide a little bit more clarity to you? Now let's go to Romans 7 and 12. And this is by, of course, the same writer, the Apostle Paul. Romans 7 and 12. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. The Apostle Paul writes all of those verses that we just read you. Now let's look at 16, verse 16 there. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. Does that sound like a person that is telling you, don't try to do the law? The law is outdated, done away with, nullified, not important anymore? I don't think so. Paul is saying the law is holy and right and good. And of course, I want to just read just a few words of the Matthew 5, 17 through 20. In the regard of the law or the prophets being done away with. In regard to mainstream Christianity trying to teach you that all has been done. There's nothing left for you to do. Just have faith and believe. Matthew 5, 17. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Does that sound like the law or the prophets is unimportant and has been done away with you? When Jesus, Yeshua himself, says these words, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you read it. Matthew 5, 17 through 20. Also, I want to go to James in conclusion, part of my conclusion to you, James 2, 2 and starting at verse 14. I want you to read James 2, 14 through 26, but I'm just going to hit some highlights here. James 2, 14, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? And all of these scriptures that I'm speaking of that I gave you in verse 14 through 26 let you know that faith alone does not save. The tree has to bear good fruit. And those verses let you know that faith alone does not save, but faith with righteous living and with righteous, that is, works, accepting God's plan of salvation and the other things within that, does save. You do become, in believing in Yeshua and believing in the plan of God and having faith in that with the fruit that is born because of that does save. We need to recognize the devil when he comes appearing respectable. When he comes teaching things that satisfy the itching ears. Satisfy what you want to hear to justify what you are doing or how you are living, when we need to seek the truth of God's Word and conform to the truth. Not trying to get the Word to conform with us and how we are living, but conforming to the Word of God and the truth that it brings as to how we should live our lives. Recognize the devil, even though he comes dressed in his best attire, comes appearing righteous, respectable. Resist him when he appears in that deception. Remind him of Yeshua's ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice of his only blood, satisfying the penalty for death and unrighteousness and sin. Christ, Yeshua, will expose the devil ultimately for what he really is, the great deceptor and the great source of lies. And I would say to you, rejoice. We are destined for heaven. We're in the family of God. Rejoice. And rejoice that ultimately the devil is destined for hell. And that will be where he will be put. God gives the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and comfort us, protect us, remind us, give us power to do things that we are not able to do from a natural sense. Supernatural power. God has that gift for us, and we have only to accept it and receive it and say yes. If all has been done for us, and there is nothing left for us to do besides believe and have faith, what do we need supernatural power for? Why did Yahweh have that gift of the Holy Spirit to be with us each moment of each day if all has been done and there's nothing left to do other than believe and have faith? What about his gift of salvation? What about his gift of being reborn? The rebirth. What need for the rebirth of starting afresh, beginning anew, making right decisions based on your study of God's Word and what the Holy Spirit brings to you? What would the need of his Holy Spirit and the rebirth be if all has been done? You see, God has a life for you to live. And his Word lets us know the truth. And that's where we need to go for our help. And that's where we need to always put our lives into what his record lets us know that we're supposed to live our life in that regard. Let's conform to the Word and not try to have the Word conform to the way we are living. If you would, stand with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath. Thank you for each one that's here. We thank you for this message that you inspired for us to bring. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will have your Holy Spirit prevalent in our hearts and lives each moment of each day, and let us lead us and guide us into those things that you have for us, and let the truth be read, let it be heard, and let it be obeyed. And Heavenly Father, let everyone that is hearing this message today be brought into the truth that you would have for them to know and for them to do. And in all these things, through Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. Let's read the blessing together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace.